School lunches now have more fruits and vegetables, but a new study shows that doesn't mean that kids are actually eating more healthy foods. The lead researcher on a UVM-led study says kids are often throwing those apples and carrots right into the waste or compost bin. Still, she says she hopes the federal mandate will be renewed. Sarah Amin was a researcher in nutrition and food sciences at the University of Vermont and lead author on the study. Sarah, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you for having me, Jane.
So, in fact, you found that students are putting these healthy options on their trays, which is what they're supposed to do now. They're supposed to be given these foods, but they're actually eating fewer fruits and vegetables, and they're wasting significantly more than they were before the law went into effect. Did that surprise you?
Yes and no. The students in our study were familiar with an environment where they had the option of not needing to select a fruit or vegetable with their meal. And so consumption decreased, but it decreased by only about one tablespoon. So we are fairly optimistic that if these guidelines continue, we can see this consumption actually level off and hopefully increase, especially with younger children coming into the program.
So how did you actually do this research?
Yes. So we did this research over 21 school visits before the guidelines were implemented in spring 2012, and then after the guidelines were implemented in spring 2013. And we used a rigorous validated dietary assessment method known as digital imaging. And so this allows us to capture students' fruit and vegetable selection, consumption, and waste before they enter the line, and then after they finish their meal and before they approach the disposal area. So just as the name implies, we capture a pre-image after the child selects all the components they want to put on their tray, and then we capture an image of their waste after they're done eating. And through that composite image of selection and waste, we're able to derive fruit and vegetable selection, consumption, and waste by the students.
And you were doing this research in two Vermont schools?
We were, yes.
And these were schools that had a significant portion of students who took free and reduced price school lunches?
Yes, we had between 40 and 60% of the students qualifying for free or reduced price meals, a marker for socioeconomic status.
And did you choose those schools because they were because of the socioeconomic status related to these children, or because you wanted to make sure you had a good enough sample of kids who were taking school lunches?
Yeah, we wanted a really robust sample, and so that was really what played into our selection. And we also wanted different cafeteria environments to work with as well, so those factors played into our selection of these schools.
So, Sarah, do you think that this could just be what's happening at these two particular schools in Vermont, or are you comfortable extrapolating the results that you got from these Vermont schools to how the law is working around the country?
We are in no mean, shape, or form extrapolating. Again, this is done in two schools. It's a very small sample, and it's just one snapshot. So we're cautious to generalize these findings nationally. In fact, we encourage more institutions to collect, rigorous, validated data of children's fruit and vegetable consumptions in a broader array of geographic and sociodemographic samples.
So then what is the value beyond what it can do to help these two schools improve the uptake of healthy foods by their students?
Again, it's just a snapshot. So we hope that it can be used in a constructive way. And again, not just looking at the data per se, but these two schools in particular, looking at the overall environment of school meals. So looking at factors such as how much time do children have to eat these meals? Do we need to look at those factors as well? And what other things can we do to encourage children to actually consume the vegetables and fruits that they're selecting? So again, it's one snapshot, and we're hoping that it can inspire other efforts to promote fruit and vegetable consumption under these new guidelines.
Why do you think students are actually eating slightly fewer fruits and vegetables rather than just unequally? Why is there a little bit less consumption?
So in our study, one of the main reasons for that, again, are those students who, prior to the new guidelines, perhaps didn't select a fruit or vegetable, and we did have a higher proportion of students that weren't eating anything that they selected. So those zeros, per se, in the data can drive down that mean consumption. And so really focusing on those children that didn't consume any of their selections would be a great place to start to see, you know, do these students need more exposure to these fruits and vegetables to help to develop their preferences? As we know, more exposure to fruits and vegetables can help children develop a preference for these food items.
So you think potentially just more time is needed?
I definitely think more time. More time and efforts outside the cafeteria environment as well. So, you know, promoting nutrition needs to be done in the home environment, needs to be done in the retail environment. So parents can model consumption of fruits and vegetables, and that can, you know, help encourage children's willingness to try and maybe finish eating their fruits and vegetables. So the onus should not just be placed on the school. But again, we need to recognize the positive efforts that schools are doing to feed children overall and to provide these healthy items for them.
As I teased in introducing you, you do think that this law should be renewed. It's up for debate in Congress in September. And you think despite the fact that what you found in this snapshot suggests that kids aren't eating more healthily and there's more waste, which presumably is costly to schools, that it's still worth keeping around and doing that kind of educational outreach that you're talking about.
Of course. I think we need to stay the course, and we can't give up yet. Consumption only decreased by about one tablespoon. I do see the waste side to it, but we need to be mindful of what these guidelines were implemented for, and they were to address a childhood obesity epidemic, to feed children in a healthy and positive way, and to promote behaviors for the long term. And so I do think we need to stay the course and sort of suffer this short-term pain for a long-term gain.
So when you, or if you were to retrack kindergartners, you know, who were kindergartners when this law was implemented and are maybe in fifth or sixth grade in a couple of years, mm-hmm. you think you might see them having more fruits and vegetables that they're actually eating because this is just something that's de rigueur for them?
We are optimistic that that will be the case. Again, they're coming into this program and all they will know is that they need to place a fruit or vegetable on their tray. And I think that in the future, schools will get more savvy with different strategies to feed these children. Again, on-the-ground efforts, so school cafeteria personnel and staff will recognize what types of fruit and vegetable offerings really hit with kids. And so I think it's important to develop those practices and so that we can really encourage positive dietary behaviors for these younger children coming into the program.
All that being said, I'm hoping that you can give some of our listeners a little bit of a pep talk, because this is potentially going to depress a lot of Vermonters who feel very strongly about fresh and often local foods in their schools and on their children's plates.
Yeah, so again, we are only pushing for these guidelines to continue. And Vermont is a poster child for farm to school and for school gardens and for other strategies to cultivate healthy dietary behaviors in children. And this is by no means a way to discourage those efforts. It's just a way to promote further strategies to encourage positive behaviors in our children.
Sarah Amin is now doing her postdoctoral studies at Tufts. She was the lead researcher on a UVM study examining why federal mandates for more healthy choices in school lunches aren't necessarily translating into better eating habits by kids. Sarah, thank you very much for your insight.
Thank you for having me.